Welcome to the Casual Campers Podcast, your home for the best camping discussion both in and out of the field. Here are your hosts, Tim and Aid.
Good evening and welcome back. I'm Aid.
I'm Tim. Good morning, if it's morning that you're listening to it.
Oh, we're recording on an evening.
Messing with people's heads. They're in different time zones.
First rule of podcasts, stop saying when you're doing it, eh? Well, I hope that sort of shows how natural ours is. So we're going to talk for the next 45 minutes. We hope people are enjoying it. So welcome to Casual Campers Podcast. If this is your first time and you've just found us, hopefully somebody's recommended. Press that subscribe button. Follow us again. There's other episodes if you want to go back. We talk about some stuff each week that's different. We also talk a lot of the same stuff each week as well, I think. If you're coming back to us because you've liked the other ones, thanks so much. I hope you like this one. And once again, please subscribe. That does us the world of good. And yeah, we're getting quite a few listeners, aren't we, Tim?
We are, actually. Who thought people would actually listen to our made-up nonsense?
This is more than just family members and friends, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I got a list of... I'm going to do a bit of a shout-out, if that's all right, to some of the places that that are listening to us. And I'm quite impressed, really. This is not an exhaustible list. This is a very short, edited version of the list. But if it's all right with you, I'm going to rattle through it.
Go on.
Newcastle-upon-Tyne, we are the Geordies.
We are the Geordies.
Birmingham in the Black Country. There's quite a few people around Birmingham in the Black Country. Columbus, Ohio. Can you believe it?
Get out of town.
Columbus, Ohio.
Shout out to Columbus, Ohio.
Keep listening. Keep listening. Edinburgh, City of Westminster, Stockholm. There's like a little group of people in Stockholm keep downloading.
Brilliant.
I don't know anybody in Stockholm.
Thank you so much. It means an awful lot. That gives me quite a nice fuzzy feeling, you know.
That's really quite cool.
Yeah.
Really quite cool.
Thank you. Please share us with your friends. I know it's camping season and things. We're going to keep on doing this. Hopefully you're liking what you hear.
Cool. Cool. There's more. I've got to mention Miami, Florida. There's somebody listening in Miami. There's somebody listening in Spain, in Alicante. And, of course, there's Leeds. Don't talk to me about sophistication. I've been to Leeds.
I've not been to Miami, but I'd like to.
I'd rather go to Miami than Leeds. Not there's anything wrong with Leeds, but I've been to Leeds. I'd like to go somewhere new.
Yeah. Broaden the horizons.
Yeah. I'm not sure I'd want to camp in Miami, though. You know, it's like... You know, ooh, it's all reclaimed swampland, isn't it? So it's going to be like flies and bugs.
Florida
and...
Keys?
Oh, it'd be worse than the Scottish midge.
What do you think?
I think you'd get eaten alive either by midges and insects or alligators.
I think, or
are they crocodiles?
Yeah, who knows? Something to do with the snouts, I think. Yeah, my impression of the Florida Keys is from a Humphrey Bogart film from the 1940s.
I thought you were going to do like an impersonation of. This is going to be good. How's he going to do this?
Stick around for more casual campers nonsense.
Yeah,
I'm not doing impressions of anybody. What does Bogie do? Not much.
Not a lot, no.
I was going to do James Cagney, and then realised that's not Bogey, that's not James Bogey. Cagney.
Yeah, no, he didn't do a lot, he just, yeah. Ah, well, there we go. So, what have you been up to?
So, this weekend, I've been at the National Cycle Show.
Cool.
So, getting outdoors, seeing what are essentially a lot of electric bikes.
Cool.
Yeah.
It is the new thing, isn't it?
It really is. I think certainly for... You know, there's just a lot of great stuff there. But they also had roof tents.
Yay! Yay! You've always got to find a camping angle somewhere.
Yeah, so I posted a couple of shots of that on Instagram. So you can find us there. Have a look at those. I have to say, I was mightily impressed. For roof tents, I quite like the ones that are hard shells that then extend up.
I prefer those. I don't like, well, it's not that I don't like those ones in that are like in the zip rainproof bags, but I think they look less streamlined. I think, you know, they go well with a Land Rover or something like that, but yeah, not necessarily on a car.
But I have to say, I mean, that's what I do like. But then there was an incredible amount of space in them. I was just blown away by the tent ones that are on, you know, so the fabric, they fold over, create a flooring, ladder. And I was just like, oh, my God, yeah, you could live in that quite nicely, I think. Mm. I think it's that ease of getting out there, isn't it? Rocking up, you were just saying beforehand, the concentrate on comfort. Get there, get your chairs out, get a fire going, boom, your tent's up.
Yeah.
And much, much easier, and clearing away as well is just as easy.
I camped earlier in the year and somebody pulled up in with a roof tent on a Land Rover and they pulled up, folded it out, pulled a ladder down, they were done. Yeah. It was great. And yeah, the only thing with that is if you do need your car for anything, if you need to nip to the shop, if you've forgotten something, you got to put the tent away. But, you know, it's down to being prepared, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think for me as well, isn't that about kind of either the awning that you have with your car at the side of it, so whether that's attached. I think that's the thing with camper vans and stuff.
Mm.
You want to. So my ideal dream is a camper van going around Europe, but I've got a scooter on the back, a little Vespa that actually that's your run around when you're parked up.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be the thing to do.
Living the dream, right?
Living
there.
The dream.
Living the dream. Camper van with a Vespa on the back.
Retirement can't come too early.
Yeah, they do those. It's
not going to come early to anybody, no. I don't think, anymore, no, but no. You know.
Do they do Vespas with, like, you know, mobility Vespas?
No. But, yeah, that would be the dream. How about yourself? What have you been up to? Oh, you went camping.
Stole my thunder. Yeah, so, I have been camping. And, ding, gosh, ding. I love it.
We need a little buzzer. Ding, 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 ding. Camping.
Okay, yeah, there will be a little buzzer now.
Okay,
insert buzzer here.
Yeah, you can all make the noises yourself.
I went camping two nights in a field, absolutely bliss.
Whereabouts?
Complete heaven. Over in Shropshire, the far side of the Long Mynd from where I am at the moment. So out the back, just perched on top of a hill. Absolute fantastic, stunning view. Just great. Lovely weather. Little bit of rain. One heck of a thunderstorm in the middle of the night. Thought it was daylight at one point. It wasn't. It was just loads of sheet lightning. But it's a really super heavy rain, but the tent held up absolutely fantastic.
Isn't that like the sort of, for me, that's the ultimate kind of how you want the weather to be. Raining on a night, a thunderstorm or whatever, when you're kind of in a tent and then get up and everything dries off. And
and it was just like that. And the thunderstorm passed, the rain went off, went back to sleep, woke up in the morning, glorious sunshine drying the tent. I still lit the tent stove though to cook breakfast on. And it's a perfect way of drying out the tent.
Yeah.
So I knew it was perfectly dry to pack it away. But, I'm also always going to light my tent stove, because why would I not do that?
Why would you not?
I feel completely refreshed.
Yeah. That's the joy of camping. There.
Absolutely is. I loved every minute of it. It was fantastic. It's I sent you some clips and stuff of me cooking and putting the tent up and everything else. I think you managed to put some of those up at different times. But
Will it be fair to say that there was a bit of content that was created by going camping, Tim?
I think absolutely. I think a bit of primary content for the old social media accounts. So, yeah,
so go, if you want to, you want to visualize what Tim was doing. Obviously, we're on Instagram, which I mentioned before. We're under Casual Campers Podcast. Go on, we'll start posting some of those things so that you can see what we're talking about.
Coolio.
You see Coolio. Tim's setup as well, which is a pretty amazing setup.
Yeah, I did have a, I have to say, I probably spent an hour thinking, do I need a new tent? And I proper did. I spent a bit of time thinking, do I need a new tent? My conclusion was, no, I bloody love my tent. I might, you know, I'm thinking I need to go camping with my other tents, you know, because, you know, you shouldn't neglect your other tents. They'll start to, you know, think you're not happy with them. But actually, I love that little Bell tent, you know, my baby Bell.
Baby Bell. I've seen recently on a couple of YouTube things with the Bell tents, rain flies that go over them.
Yeah, I've seen those.
Adds a bit of insulation as well, so you keep the heat in, stops it getting so hot, and they tend to be waterproof. So, you know, I know the cotton is waterproof when it gets, but that's the thing of drying the cotton out, isn't it?
Well, I've also seen, actually just yesterday, one of those rain covers, but it's a blackout one. So it's waterproof and it's blackout because obviously with a canvas with a cream canvas tent,
it's very bright.
It's really bright.
It's a lovely light though. It's a lovely light.
It's lovely, but you know this time of year you're like awake at 4,
yeah,
and the birds are going for it. Whereas actually it's just a blackout cover that goes over the top, fits perfectly.
Yeah, you ever tried a face mask?
I have tried a face mask. I meant to take it with me and I forgot to take it.
Yeah, no.
Along with my pillows.
Yeah.
Foolish boy. I always forget pillows. Yeah. Rolled up coat, rolled up blanket. It's not the same.
Just pretend you're a cowboy and you're like, you know, camping by the fire.
Around like John Wayne.
In chaps, whatever you do camping stays camping, okay?
10-gallon tin.
Reminds me of Bucket Tim.
We're trying really hard this episode, guys, not to blow the microphone levels, but it's just really difficult.
Right then, Bucket. So...
Oh, God.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, what are we're meant to be talking about some of this week. What are we talking about?
We are talking about camping with partners.
Ah.
Yeah.
Ah.
So, for me, years ago, my camping, very much kind of solo, I've got my stuff, and if somebody wanted to come with me, they joined what I had. Mm-hmm. Certainly, my first camping with Lily, my partner, she didn't enjoy it. She was doing it under sufferance. And there was quite a big gap between that and the next time. And I think I kind of wanted to explore some of those things that, you know, the more your partner likes camping, the more you can get out there yourself. So just wanted to talk about some of those things, your experiences, my experiences.
Yeah, cool.
And what I think the differences are, you know. What do you think?
Yeah, I, you know, there'll be people listening who are going, no, don't take your partner. It's going to ruin camping. Camping's for the boys. Or equally, camping's just for the girls. Or anything in between. But actually, it is a different thing. It's a different animal altogether. You go camping with your mates, whoever they may be. It's one thing. Camping with your partner or with your mates and their partners is a totally different game. And you do need to approach it from a different angle altogether. That really don't matter who your partner is. You've got to think about, you know, I've lost my train of thought. Your fridge made a funny noise.
Yeah, it did. No, I get what you're saying. I think it comes back to adjusting every time. You know, we talked in the past about, you know, adjusting for different weather, pitches, or what you're doing and what you take and stuff. And, you know, like with everything, you know, who you're going with, you adjust to that. And I think rather selfishly, just thought, oh, well, I'm camping, you come and join me. But I didn't think about it from a non-camper's point of view.
I'm really surprised at that, because I, looking at what you've done, I really thought you'd put a load of thought into it. And actually, you know, I mean, I know we laugh and joke about, you know, it's all about the gear. You got to buy more gear. And you just bought a load more gear so that you could take your partner. But I thought you genuinely put a lot of thought into it. You know, the types of bed and everything else. You'd really thought the type of tent and the space and everything else that you were putting together. I genuinely thought you put a bit more thought into it. I mean, you know, clearly, no.
I got a bird brain. It's just, I say what comes out my mouth. It's half and half. So originally, years ago, there was some thought, but it was within the limitations of my current kit. So took extra duvets, made it extra comfortable, mm-hmm. got lots of other things. And I've got more gear than the average bear. So, you know.
Yeah, you definitely do.
I had one tent, and it was a small two-man tent.
Yeah.
It had a gear bit with it, so it was crawling in and out of stuff. And for somebody that doesn't know camping that well, that can be a big ask.
Yeah.
Close proximity. I think one of the key things we kept on talking about was, oh, well, the grass is wet in the morning and it's really bright and there's bird song and it's noisy and, you know, those kind of things. And I don't think I necessarily did any adjustment for those, because that's, in some regards, part of camping.
Yeah.
And I think I've used it as a bit of an excuse, why don't I get a bigger tent? Because I love small geodesic design pole tents and stuff. They're brilliant. As I've got a bit older, I kind of like to stand up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I like the simplicity of a one or two pole setup, you know, like pyramid tents that just have that central pole, or like the bell tents that have... That's much, much easier than threading through a pole. I've just got a bit frustrated by those kind of things.
But they're a bit more complicated to put up.
Yeah.
And actually, if you're going with someone who perhaps isn't, you know, a partner who's not into camping quite as much as you are, the more complicated it is, the less they're going to get excited by it, and they're going to get frustrated a lot quicker than we would.
Yeah,
and actually, they're less likely to then come again, aren't they?
But how many people have? Because I thought about it also in terms of while we're thinking about doing this episode, how many people hate camping and say that they hate camping because their dads took them when they were, you know, I love camping, but my dad didn't take me camping.
We've got
the same dad.
I'm going to say my dad didn't take me camping.
I was going to say I'd be upset if he took you camping and not me.
Yeah, it took me camping all the time. He said, "Don't tell Ed.
Don't tell Ed.
I can't stand him."
I knew he thought it. I didn't think he
get
said
away.
It.
You got a nickname. I didn't get a nickname.
Trouble. The one that plays with matches.
Yeah, that's him, not me.
Yeah.
It's
that's the thing that I started sort of coming round to the fact of, well, actually, one, I want to get out camping as much as possible. I'd like to go with my partner as much as she wants to come camping.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's an easier ask to get away if we're both doing it together. We're going to Pembrokeshire next week.
Mm-hmm. Yay! But see, I think that's an easier ask if you're thinking about trying to get away for a longer camp.
Yeah.
You know, if you want to get away for one night, if you want to get away for two nights, I think, you know, that's easy to just kind of disappear off and either go camping on your own or go with a couple of mates or something like that. But if you've got a really burning desire to go off for a week camping,
yeah,
that's a big ask of your partner to say, I'm leaving you for a week and I'm going to go do this thing on my own.
Especially when you've only got so much holiday and you're going to use up a week's holiday somewhere, yeah, you know, yeah, that's the thing. But it is that somebody from work asked me about whether or not they knew I camped, and they were saying, oh, I'd quite like to do it. This was after the pandemic. And what would be my advice? And it was like, don't commit yourself to doing too long. You know, every camping is different depending on what the weather is, the site that you're going to. You know, there's very few that are the same. You know, there's always some adjustment that you have to do. And don't overcommit yourself. You know, do a night, see whether you like it. Do two nights, but that's a different kind of thing. How much food do you take? How do you take it? What do you do with it? Are you eating out? Are you going to cook most of it? All those things that, if you're not used to the outdoors, how do you fill your time?
Yeah.
You know, like we talked before. And I think that's the thing with partners that I just thought I didn't necessarily adjust in every way, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, my partner, she's not into camping, hasn't ever really been into camping. And I was going, I kind of suggested, why don't we go camping? And I suggested we go camping for a night, and she suggested, no, we go camping for two nights. And I went, I don't really think we should probably do that, because you don't know whether you're going to like it in two nights. Doing something you don't like is miserable and not a lot of fun. Whereas actually we can make it lots of fun and, you know, roast marshmallows and do all of that stuff and make it fun for one night. But is that fun for two nights? Maybe not. But she insisted, no, we'll do two nights. And actually we did have a really nice time. It's, I wasn't convinced, you know, it would happen again, to be honest, because, you know, it was a nice time, but, you know, very keen on showers, very keen on hair dryers. That level of comfort. So going camping somewhere, you know, would need to include a campsite with facilities. And that's not necessarily a wrong thing. You know, we've talked about before, I've certainly mentioned in previous podcasts, that I'm a fan of a site with the minimal stuff. You know, I'm quite happy with a cold water tap and a port-a-loo.
Yeah.
But actually, I think that's a consideration that if you are going with partners, you know, we've all got certain mates who also would quite like a hairdryer and a and a warm shower. You know who you are. It's but for partners, you know, I would say it comes down to picking your site. You know, you got to pick somewhere that looks pretty. You got to pick somewhere that's got a really nice view. But you've really got to pick somewhere that's got maybe those facilities that I wouldn't pick for myself, for my own reasons. And it's about compromise, as probably most things is with your partner in life. It's actually, they're built on compromise, aren't they? And actually that might not be a site I might have picked, but if it means I got to go camping more, I'm prepared to kind of go somewhere that's got, you know, maybe a shop on site and a shower block. And, you know, I think I draw the line at somewhere that's like putting on a show or something like that. I don't think I could go on one of those sites. It's,
is that not last week's episode of festivals?
Not that kind of a show. You know what I mean. You know, let's spend the night at the Dickie Bow Disco and there's some tribute act on that the words to the songs. It's those kind of sites. I couldn't do those, but
I think you're right. The you know, the facilities personal experience with my partner, facilities are a real sort of important thing. Mm-hmm. I like quite wild camping. For me, wild camping is a night, maximum two.
Yeah,
but actually, you know, with partners, wild camping isn't kind of the thing that they would like to do. But, you know, maybe not all partners. I'm sure that there's some out there that do. But I think it is just that, making sure that you've got the right kit, the right tents, the right kind of sleeping thing. What are the fears? Ask somebody. Yeah. You know, what are the things that you're uncomfortable with?
Sleeping's the big important one, I think. People get really worried that actually it's going to be dirty, it's going to be cold, they're going to be uncomfortable. And actually, if you can tackle some of those, like you say, ask them what their fears are. And if you can tackle some of those things in advance, yes, sometimes it might unfortunately, oh no, mean you've got to spend some more money on camping equipment.
Yay,
oh no,
that's a shame.
That's so terrible. But, you know, if that is what it takes just to make it comfortable. And I think that's probably the key word, isn't it? It's comfort. Yeah. It's comfort isn't necessarily the things you think it would be. You know, it isn't always the facilities on the site. Comfort's often made by the stuff that you take.
Yeah.
It's, you don't spend the night in the toilet block. You spend the night in your tent. So make your tent comfortable.
Yeah. And the flip side to that comfort question for somebody else is, I now have a better sleeping system. I've got a good mattress that
I'm impressed with your sleeping system. I think it's really cool.
It just works. And it was because I was years ago, it was because I was thinking of somebody else that I thought, I'll invest in a little bit more. But I always buy tents and I'll spend quite a lot of money on tents. I've never really spent a lot of money on sleeping bags or mats, because half the time you don't use them that often, and then they go down.
I've learnt that, and now actually I've got a really expensive sleeping bag that I absolutely love.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of, and actually I bought these to take my partner camping, some Mountain Hardware, winter, decent R-rated self-inflating sleeping mats. For those who don't know, R-rating, it's the thermal something, the thermal rating of your sleeping mat. So how warm will it keep you?
Yeah.
I think
we've touched on this before a little bit, haven't we? That actually, it's not necessarily your sleeping bag that makes you cold or lets you down. It's the protection from the floor that seeps in.
Yeah, the floor will suck you dry of every bit of warmth you've got. And if you can, hence why I really like a camp bed. I know I've said that too many times, but I do. But my Bell tent, it's a 3 meter Bell, so it won't take two camp beds. It's I'd need the next size up, which I am thinking about, you know. So if we do end up camping more frequently, I might have to have another Bell tent, but go with like a 4.5 meter. Just, you know.
Oh, you could have a proper double bed in that as well.
Yeah. But I don't think I would fit it in my little car. I've only got a Mazda 2.
Roof rack, Tim.
Roof tent.
I raise you your roof tent to a camper van.
I'm dying to see when they finally manage to put a tent stove in a roof tent.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen I think there's one coming out, and I do need to get a little bit better about this, but I have seen...
Another top tip that no one can follow.
No, yeah, it really is. So the roof tents that are triangular that pop up, they're
a wedge
of cheese. I've seen one that has foldable walls, hard walls, so they've got windows and stuff.
Cool.
Really, really nice, and I think that's the thing. But I was really impressed with the fabric tent, roof tents, that had so much space.
See, I'm not convinced that a partner would... I don't know. I think that feels a bit more like a action man type kind of, this is really cool, and you know, it's like a den. It's like a treehouse den. I'm climbing up into my treehouse to sleep. I don't think a partner would want to climb up a ladder to go to bed. So I'm not sure a tent, a roof tent, would be a partner set. But hey, if anyone's got one out there and they want to contradict that, you know, send us a message on social media. It would be really interesting to hear somebody's take on that.
Yeah. Our email address, if you want to send us in some questions, is kazcamppod@gmail.com.
Cool.
So first few letters of each thing. You can find that on our social media as well.
Fab. Are you monitoring that? Because I'm not monitoring that.
Yeah, it comes through onto my thing. Cool. Nobody's emailed us, but I think this is the first time we've asked somebody to email us.
Yeah, I don't think we've mentioned it at all.
But if you want to direct messages through Instagram, that's our main format. We do have Twitter. We've got YouTube. We've got Linktree account on those things, so you can get to us in any way that you want to. But, you know. So what would be your top tip then? Top tips of camping with a partner.
Top tip would be comfort. Top tip is think about what makes them comfortable. Compromise perhaps what you'd really like from a camping trip and keep that for a different camping trip. You know, realize that camping with your partner is a different animal. And it might take different equipment, might take a new tent. But focus on the comfort with everything that you do, you know, whether it's the snacks, you know, think about the food you take in, think about the drink you take in, think about the snacks and the chair, you know, silly things like that, you know, and sleep. What you're going to sleep on, I think, is the top of the tree thing, really. Make sure that you have a comfortable night's sleep. Because if someone doesn't have a comfortable night's sleep camping, they're never going to come back.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's a hard thing to get over. As I said before, the wetness of the ground was an issue. Climbing out of a tiny tent was an issue.
Yeah.
Brightness in the morning was an issue.
Sorry.
And so, yeah, just think about all those kind of things. For me, facilities, that would be, you know, what's on site. You know, I think it's different for everybody, but yeah, you know, certainly to get my partner away, what are the facilities, you know, how private is it sometimes, you know, are we sharing a field with loads of other people? I'm going to Wales next week. I've got a site that's got its own shower, toilet and a pitch on the site that's got its own shower, kitchen and toilet. And it's away from everybody else. Pay a little bit extra for that. But, you know, that's kind of what we want.
I didn't know you were a glamper. I knew I was a glamper. I've got a carpet tent and take slippers away with me. I didn't think you were. I thought you were a bit more hardcore than that.
Well, yeah, this is me adjusting.
This is you compromising.
This is me compromising. But, you know, feeling good about it as well, you know.
Well, I guess you're a week in Pembrokeshire. Awesome.
Yeah, a week in Pembrokeshire with somebody that doesn't like camping.
That's
and
impressive.
Who's looking forward to it.
That's impressive. Well done, that man. I am shaking your hand right now.
Yeah.
You can't see this now, but this is a podcast shake of the hand. You've done good.
That's 10 years worth of camping there.
Cool.
And Lily isn't by any means a camper, but it's something that she knows I like and would.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She said, if you have to go with anybody, she'd like to go with me. One, because hopefully she likes me enough. But two, I've got all the gear, so it makes it a much more enjoyable thing. Yeah. It's not where surviving in the wild, where thriving in the wild.
Yeah.
Ooh, there's a
thing.
Thriving in the wild.
In the wild with his personal shower and kitchen in Pembrokeshire. Yeah. Wild. So I did go camping at the weekend and my partner came with me. And I asked her what she thought about it on the following morning, and this is what she said.
Hi, so it's Tim. I'm here in my little bell tent with Alex. Morning.
Morning.
So camping with a partner This is the second time you've come camping. I didn't think you'd come again after the first time, although you thoroughly enjoyed the first time.
I did enjoy the first time. We had a lovely time.
So what made you come this time?
I quite like having a campfire, I think, is my main draw.
Fantastic. Alex's top tip. have a campfire.
I think I was surprised last night, actually. I'm not a seasoned camper, but I was surprised at how quickly we got everything out and up and sorted, because it was getting on a bit later, wasn't it, last night? So it was a good thing that we managed to get the tent up. We sort of divided jobs and we got things done, didn't we, really?
Yeah, and that's practice.
I know exactly what you're doing, obviously.
Yeah. But that is something actually to learn, really, is that actually if you're bringing your partner or you're bringing someone who hasn't camped very often, it's, you know, divide jobs, get stuff done, get the comfort ready as quickly as possible, so that the putting the stuff up is out of the way, really, and then it's quickly there's chairs, there's food, there's drink, and there's fire.
Yeah. I mean, there's more technical bits, aren't there? I wouldn't, you know, if you just left me to it, I wouldn't have been able to have worked out how to put this tent up. It's far too complicated. But you know, inside, getting the carpet down, getting the beds ready and all that kind of stuff, I can bring everything out of the car, I can do all that stuff. And
yeah, she did say carpet. This is car camping. You've heard us talk about that before. This is my 3 metre bell tent. It does have a carpet in it.
Tent with carpet.
Why not? If you're bringing the car, put everything in it and be comfortable. You don't have to rough it when you camp in. And particularly if you're coming with a partner who hasn't particularly camped often, comfort is what it's all about. Bring all those luxury items.
And don't forget your pillows.
Yeah, all right.
You've always got to forget something. You know, sometimes it's major stuff, but how great was that? How great was Alex?
She was absolutely fab. Helped put the tent up, and yeah, she could have put the tent up quite easily on her own. But actually, it was about dividing the jobs up. It was actually about doing some jobs together, and then getting the comfortable stuff. And yeah, we joke about me taking a carpet with my tent, but actually, those are the comfort things. Those are the things that stop it being a bit of plastic that's at the bottom of the tent. Actually, it's a bit of a tent carpet. You know, it goes a long way. It's simple stuff that doesn't take up a lot of room in the car, but actually it makes a big difference when you go into the tent and you kind of can stand there in your bare feet and it's not a bit of plastic under your feet. It's a carpet. And
sometimes you're on rocky ground or there's other things. I've learned recently to, you know, have that protection. I always like a kind of footprint for a tent.
Yeah, I always use each of my tents. Have got a footprint.
Always have them, but yeah, a little bit of extra protection. My tent at the minute is a winter tent. They don't do a footprint, so I've been playing with bits of carpet and what have you. I think I've got rugs and bits and pieces, so I'm going to do it. But I think, you know, how brilliant campfire.
Yeah.
Nature's telly. Boom.
Yeah. Get the fire lit.
There's always something to do with the fire going. I always sort of miss out when on the day that you're leaving and you think, oh, you know, if you were there for a couple of days, you cook on a fire a lot. And yet on the day that you're leaving, if it's cold, I tend not to get a fire going.
No.
And I think, oh, I should do.
But you see, as on this weekend, I lit the tent stove. I hadn't used the tent stove for the whole camp. It was in the tent because it's part of the setup and it looks amazing. Didn't need it because it was so warm. Cooked the food on the open fire. But actually, breakfast on the last day, the fire was all put away already and not put away.
They cool down really quickly, do the tent stoves,
don't they?
The
tent stoves cool down. It dries your tent, as I said earlier. But you can cook on it. You know, I had the frying pan on there and I was making chorizo scrambled eggs. Of course I was.
Yeah, of course. It'd have been rude not to.
It would have been
after
really
creating
rude.
Like our food podcast. did you see that Winnowell reposted our
No.
Yeah, reposted some of our things this week. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
If anybody's at Winnerwell listening, thanks. Hope you're enjoying it. We love your stuff.
Yeah, we're not saying that because we want more stuff. Because to be honest, I couldn't take any more. I've got all the stuff.
You've got a lot of stuff.
I've got their fold flat fire pit, which I've also got the table that sits on.
Yep.
So you can literally put that anywhere and it won't mark the grass. Yeah. It's really good. It looks after the campsite that you're staying on.
Yeah.
And I've got the Nomad small tent stove and are just lovely, two fantastic solidly built pieces of kit.
Yeah.
And it was great on the morning yesterday. Like you say, actually, it's really nice to cook on a fire.
Yeah.
You still get to do that and at the same time dry your tent out.
Maybe boil some water as well,
have a cup of coffee.
It's just great. And that's the thing, I was just thinking that we're probably going off topic a little bit here, so I'll shut up. But
are we not? Are we doing that? We always go off topic.
Yeah, I don't finish my sentences. What am I talking about?
Off-piste.
You.
Taking the off-piste.
But the fact is that those sites that don't do fires, don't allow open fires, will allow tent stoves.
Yeah.
Because it's in your tent, so you're not going to mark the tent.
Yeah.
So, yeah, another reason that just then opens up those sites that you wouldn't normally be able to get to.
It also adds that level of comfort.
Yeah.
Again, for when you're there with your partner, you know, I've got the tent stove with the glass panels down the side and on the front door. Yeah. You know, it adds that nice glow. It you know, we didn't use it this time, but we did use it when we went camping before.
Yep.
And it's just lovely. Like you said, nature's TV. It's
always something to do with a fire, whether you're cooking on it, whether you're just poking the embers, and I found that I use a heck of a lot less wood with those as well.
Yeah.
You know, because I'd make a big bonfire if I'm out doing it on the ground. Fires, that is. But anyway, we digress. So that's Camping with Partners. We hope that you take something from it or take nothing. It's up to you. If you've got some advice for us or something that you think we've not contributed to, give us a direct message, a DM. In our Instagram, the only people that have said direct message me are the ones that want us to pay for some advertising to get our numbers up, and I was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to do that."
Yeah,
we're having a bit of fun.
Robot,
yeah,
it's a robot.
It's AI getting us.
It's going to wipe out humanity by having direct messages.
Yes, it really is. So if there's something that you think we've missed off, start direct message. We'll message you. Give us a mediocre 5-star review on any of the websites that you listen to us on.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Or on, you know, whatever platform you're listening to a podcast on, you can give us a 5-star mediocre review. We will read it out, I swear.
And for all those other countries, are we just talking sort of UK-based type things? What we're talking about, do they relate to wherever you are? If you've got some experiences in your country that you think are slightly different, we'd love to hear about it.
That's a really good point. I'm impressed with that. I hadn't really thought about that. Are we too UK-focused on what we do here? Which, naturally, we're going to be, because I haven't camped anywhere else in any other part of the world. But actually, a lot of what we do talk about, I would assume, would be universal. But let us know, actually, if it's not, you know, you want us to talk about something else or suggest something, go for it. That'd be cool.
I know in America where their humidity levels are different, so they cut their fly sheets for their tents slightly higher, whereas UK ones are lower just because we've got more humidity, more water, more rain, more mildew, etc. So there are differences.
That's cool.
Yeah, and I guess for Scandinavian countries, there's a heck of a lot of snow.
It's a lot of snow. Their tents are made out of wool.
this year, Tim, we're winter camping properly in some snow somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, we talked previously in a couple of episodes that we both did manage to get a bit of winter camping done. The most I got was some snow and a really heavy frost on the ground. There was snow on the hills around, but I am so desperate to camp in the snow. Really desperate to camp in the snow.
Similar to you, a few years ago, I think it got down to -6. There wasn't any snow, or there was a bit of snow. We were in a dip, so we didn't get it. But didn't have a stove in the tent. It was just equipment that we took. And it was a cold night, but, you know, we survived.
Yeah,
I think I came out of that going, oh, I need to do a little bit less winter camping. It was a close run thing, was that one. But then you adjust. Yeah. I was like, oh. And you have a summer between those things and you think, oh, maybe I'll do a bit of winter camping again.
Yeah, yeah. We still haven't been stealth camping yet. We've really got to get a stealth camp on. We just need like a midweek, have the stuff in a car and just go, come on, I've seen a roundabout.
Why don't we do an episode stealth camping?
We need to do that.
Yeah.
And video it and put some content on YouTube. Okay, yeah. Deal. We're stealth camping.
Right, okay. Start thinking of things.
Start.
There's an episode to come then, whether that'll be,
Knows when it'll be? Who knows when it'll be?
Yeah.
But it'll happen. It'll happen.
Yeah. Right, so I've been Aid.
I've been Tim.
And thanks for listening. Like and share. And we'll catch you next week.
And we're going to end, as always, on our casual campers minute mindfulness. Is it rain or is it fire? You decide. Enjoy, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
Here is your casual campers minute mindfulness. But is it rain or is it fire? You decide.